Welcome to SciTech Culture with Steve Kern and Ben Warner, where we examine science, technology and culture in the 21st century. Visit our website at scitechculture.com.
Well, there we were talking about Meta's lawsuits and everything last week, and then it turns out they, in that between then and now, they've settled the case. The ABC was listing it as $23 billion settlement. I think that's in Australian dollars. I feel like I saw the figure of $18 billion, whatever. Probably, you know, 3 weeks of revenue for Facebook or something like that, or for Meta anyway. But look, I mean, it's interesting that they, and this is what they do, right? The settling of the social media addiction case, I guess, would be the way to call it, how Meta, you know, was using practices to get people and kids in particular addicted to Facebook and Instagram, WhatsApp and whatnot. But some of the interesting things out of it was the 2-hour time limit, you know, across those apps, you know, for under 18 users, night mode and school mode settings, hidden likes, blocking extreme beauty filters. It's like they know, oh, we'll just take the hit and then we'll let it go away, is kind of the way they tend to approach, at least the way Meta tends to approach these things. The one thing I did want to pull out just as a follow-up, you know, this is in the US. There isn't actually a guarantee that this will actually get rolled out anywhere else. And if you look at Australia, is Australia going to have to do something similar just to make the point, or to see, given, you know, the history of what they've already legislated on social media?
Yeah, well, there's a few things here to unpack. The first is the speed in which they capitulated and reached a settlement, which suggests that they know they're on the hook. But that now rules a line under these claims and any similar claims. So they can say, effectively, they've already dealt with this. And by rolling out these features, they're saying, we've changed, so therefore you can't come after us in the future. But like you say, anyway, I'd be even sceptical as to how well these changes will even work in the US, because having seen the under 16 bans here in Australia and the fact that they're really easy to walk around without any hassle at all, you know, let's be honest. And this time they just won't be sending emails to each other saying, ha ha, how easy was it to get around that?
Yeah, you'd think they'd be a bit more better about that, given it's easy to dredge up emails in a court case.
Yeah, exactly. So I think they've got off very lightly, actually. And I think with this precedent as well, I think they've also effectively said they've put this liability to bed. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And they've also set a limit. If anyone from another jurisdiction, say Europe or something like that, came after them, they've set a limit at what the payment will be. So I think it's actually really a big win for Meta.
As it usually is with these things, unfortunately. Oh, well, it won't be the last time. It'll come up again and we'll revisit it when it comes up, whether it's Meta or someone else as well. Yeah, just moving on to the main story that we're going to talk about today. Again, more of the same theme, really. The old smart glasses with now cameras being built into them, and the concerns around, surveillance of people without their consent in public, etc. Obviously, I wanted to start off with this story about camera glasses that contain footage that appeared to have been accidentally filmed inside a Chinese factory while they were actually using it. I mean, that probably just says it all, that they can just be switched on without anyone knowing, and you know, all of a sudden there's footage of people. I didn't put it in the show notes, but there was another one I saw this morning about a girl that was on the tube in London who was filmed by this guy that came past, and she didn't know she was being filmed because he was wearing the glasses and he had that on and he was trying to have this interaction, and then he turned it into TikTok pickup video, even though the content had nothing to do with it. The surveillance, we've spoken about the Google Glass thing and how that freaked out everyone, you know, over a decade ago, and it feels like nothing's changed. Like, it might be just something inherent to the actual format of the, you know, the form factor of this type of tech device that, sure, you can do it, but the use case is just going to lead down to these particular examples.
I just don't understand any of this. So an AI agent hacks another company's like app and that's okay, but you do it, you go to jail, right? If I secretly video you without your permission, put it up online, create content, make money, whatever, I'm in trouble. But if I do it with some glasses, apparently that's fine. I do not understand why and how this cannot be regulated. And I think if governments fail to put some sort of regulation in here very quickly, which they can with existing laws, and if they need to find the platforms and they need to find the content creators, you'll end up otherwise with what we saw, I think, on the social platforms 10 years ago, where you've just got anything goes. So it's pretty simple. I think it's very serious, not just from a particular angle. It's just serious generally. People can walk around, film others without their knowledge and then make content out of it. That's just plain wrong.
But is it almost impossible to regulate something like this? Because the glasses, it's not like if you've got your smartphone and you pick it up and you shove it in somebody's face, they can tell you're filming them that way. This type of device is becomes so innocuous that you can't tell what's actually happening. And even if you were to have regulation of some sort, it's a bit like the social media thing. How is it stopped? You know, like I don't see how like there's any way around it other than not doing it.
Yeah. Do you remember the old days, Ben, when if you set up to do a film shoot in a capital city like Sydney or Melbourne, if you didn't have a permit, you know, they'd shut you down or fine you. And now you have influencers walking around with phones doing the same thing. But these glasses, like you say, I think it's just wrong. If as a society we're prepared to accept it, I guess those of us that don't like it will just have to accept it. But it is an absolute wormhole if you don't have control over your image and likeness anymore. Because the next thing you'll see is yourself, like we saw in the early days of social media, you'll see yourself up on a billboard advertising, you know, a cola you don't drink or eating a burger you don't like. It's ridiculous. Not to mention, you know, you could well find yourself, you know, like preaching hate speech or, you know, selling something that's illegal or promoting a cause that's just plain wrong. And that will happen if they don't stamp on this very quickly.
And not to mention like what we picked up from like what we were talking about last week in relation to just psychological safety or even physical safety. There's also that component as well, because you know that there will be people that will go around and do that sort of thing, regardless of whatever laws are in place.
Well, if I think somebody's somewhere, I can go online, ask someone to go somewhere and film all the people with their glasses and just upload. They don't even need to know who I'm looking for. And there'll be people that will do it.
Mm, yeah, it's not good. I mean, I know I saw this other link you sent through about an app that detects whether someone's nearby with said glasses that could be filming you. I thought that was interesting. And I don't know, is this like a Yelp thing? You know, like rating people when, you know, you report them on the app or something like...
But what do you do? Do you go up and tell them to take those glasses off and then start a fist fight? You know, does he then sue you, or that person then sue you because you were abusive that they had glasses on, or you asked them to take their glasses on, they didn't, and, you know, next thing you know, you're in court? Just because it's all filmed. It's ridiculous.
Mm, yeah, I mean, I just don't understand how... you know, they think of these technologies, but don't understand the potential implications of what, you know, the Pandora's box that can be opened in terms of negative consequences. And, you know, I was just going to say too, you know, like, go back, social media, AI now and its potential uses. I didn't even touch on Bill Gates' missive this week about that he's warning everyone about the bad uses of AI, but that's also another one. We have this type of technology. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm like the tech enthusiast. I like all my gadgets and playing around with stuff and keeping up on this stuff, but I've never been this disturbed in recent memory with so many of the progress of this sort of stuff.
But the thing is that really gets me about this is we've already seen this before 10, 15 years ago when social platforms were totally out there doing whatever they wanted. They're now doing it with products, and these products are so much more powerful. I mean, consider the original Google Glass. When you think what the capability of those original glasses must have been compared to today, it's not even a contest. So, I just don't know how this stuff can be sold legally when there's absolutely no control around it. And yet if I went and did it willfully, even with a phone, I could face serious charges. Unbelievable.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's finish off on a more, I don't know if you want to call it a positive note or not. Obviously, we have our, we follow some of the Apple stuff here a bit closely, and they surprised us with the announcement of the new Mac Minis and Mac Studio, with the Mac Mini getting the new M6 chip, which was a bit unprecedented. They don't usually, they usually release the iPhone first with the new chip generation, and then it sort of flows on from there. But this time, they just throughout the M6, and yep, I did pick one up because I was waiting for that to actually come out. I ate the cost, but what I thought was interesting was in looking at my use case, and I know we've spoken about this before, that, you know, effectively that it's replacing a 2017 iMac, so I'm going to get a massive boost in performance there. But there wasn't any need to go any further than that M6 chip, and you wonder what people are actually using these for other than very niche use cases. If you're talking about going to the pro version of the chip, and then even further with the Mac Studio with the Max and Ultra chips, especially with all of the neural accelerators and whatever else they've put in there. So there's that. But the other thing that I really wanted to highlight, which I thought was funny, was because 2 years ago when the M4 Mac Mini came out, you know, $599 US, it came out as the starting price, basically a killer deal. It was marketed as, this is the machine that anyone can buy. It beats every Windows equivalent desktop PC, and it's at a price that you can't beat. Now, thanks to all of what's been going on in tech with rising prices and whatnot, it's now at $899 US, which in Australia works out, I don't know how, to $1,400 Australian, I think. And they've pivoted, and I think what they've done is they've pivoted to it being, this is now a really great AI machine. Like, and that's going to be their AI story, because they flopped quite badly 2 years ago when they tried to introduce Apple Intelligence and they didn't really have anything to show for it at the time. So now they've accidentally, I mean, you know, give it to them. They're not daft. Like, they picked up that people were buying these Mac Minis and Mac Studios for AI local AI usage. And they've now said, they've raised the price, and they've now said, this is your AI machine. You know, go forth and buy it. Go and buy 4 Mac Studios and daisy chain them together to create your own data center, you know. It's a fascinating turn of events. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, Ben, for the days of clock speed, you know, when we cared about how many gigahertz you had under the hood, you know. But this is interesting, you know, back then when we used to wait for the next update, you know, the next, Pentium chip or the next Apple release, it was because we didn't have enough speed. And if we had more speed, the software we had would just work better. But we had to wait another 18 months. These machines, just reading about them, must mark the first time that the machine's capacity is so far ahead of its use case. I don't think we've ever seen a gap like that. We don't even have the software to run on these machines yet to truly tax them. I mean, if you had large enough data sets and you want to run, as you say, you know, your own AI agent and data center basically at home, yeah, you'll start pushing these machines. But for personal usage, the surplus of capability is nothing short of fantastic. As I said to you before, I mean, these machines now have the capacity for you to train the machine or train the app on your new machine what a final version of STC looks like, and it'll cut it for you.
Or it'll just produce the whole thing from start to finish. It'll generate the video
in real time. It'll just make, like, because it'll be able to swap between feeds, no problem. I'm just blown away. It's just removing everyone from the loop.
Absolutely. Well, it is interesting. And the one thing I will notice, you got to comment on the Ramageddon component, you know, that, you know, a lot of these things are expensive. The model that I ordered is already experiencing shipping delays because of availability and whatnot. And obviously, it did increase the prices, et cetera. I mean, I did take that, your point from the other week about when you're an Apple user, you just wear the cost, because I know I'm going to have this machine 10 years from now still somewhere doing something. So,
and the other thing is, Ben, you know, there's not a better machine.
exactly, not in a 5x5 box. No,
which means you sleep easy at night even having spent extra money.
Yeah, absolutely, while it's spinning out new SciTech Culture episodes in the background. Alrighty. Alright, so we might wrap it up there. Interesting times switching from surveillance glasses to overpowered machines. What a world we're living in these days.
It's starting to go way past, I think, what I ever thought was possible.
Absolutely. All right, so that's it for this week's episode. We'll catch you next time.